Thank you for coming along to our summer school together. If you skipped class yesterday and have no idea why I'm calling this broadcast and podcast a summer school, then be sure to jump online to download and listen to the God Is podcast. You missed an important introduction to Matthew chapter 4. Stick with me until the end and you'll hear how to get the God Is podcast free. As for you who were here, did you manage to accomplish your little assignment? How did it go? Have you come to this time prepared with your 4 or 5 observations into the first 11 verses of Matthew chapter 4? Get those out if you've got them. As you read and reread the text, what stood out to you? As promised, I'm going to ask you for them. Ready? When I say go, shout them out. Be ready to scream them at the rest of us so that we can hear them. Ready, set, go! Okay, I only heard a couple. Come on, what else did you see in the text? Very good, class. And yes, I know that I cannot hear you right now. I have not lost touch with a sound mind. But I am just trying to have a little fun. I want to encourage you to be a student, not just a summertime student, a full-time student of the Bible. Jump into the Word of God with me and all the other listeners coast to coast and around the world, and let's see what God teaches us about himself. The Bible is meant to be read. Please do read it. You have given us your observations, and I'll be happy to receive those via email or letter this week. I promise not to repeat what you write on the air. It would just be a pleasure to see what struck you in your own private reading of Matthew's Gospel, here beginning at chapter 4. And now it is my turn to do the same. And just to be clear, I will obviously be giving you, in the weeks ahead, more insight into the encounter between Jesus and the devil in the wilderness than what I am about to tell you, but I'm going to save that for later. Let me start by just relating to you my 5 initial observations of Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Here they are. What really just came screaming off the page at me takes place in the beginning and in the end of the passage. Verses 1 and 11 really impacted me. Right now, let me read for us all verse 1. This is Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. There I am, reading along right in verse 1, and I only get this far. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit. I had to stop and circle, led by the Spirit, with my red marker. My first observation, Jesus was led by the Spirit. He was not led by the devil. I found this intriguing. The Spirit here is obviously the Holy Spirit, so God is the one doing the leading. God, not the devil. And my second observation came quickly also. I continued reading verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The wilderness. I circled that in red marker. The location of this temptation interests me. Again, still only in verse 1, I stopped when I came to be tempted. I circled the word tempted. Why is Jesus led by the Spirit, first observation of mine, into the wilderness, second observation of mine? It is to be tempted, third observation of mine. And then still, just in verse 1, by the devil. My fourth observation in reading and rereading Matthew 4, 1 through 11, is that the devil is the one giving the temptations to Jesus. I made a careful note. While the Holy Spirit is the one who led Jesus into the wilderness, it is Satan who does the tempting. I wrote it this way in my notes, right beside the scripture passage. God does the leading, but the devil does the tempting. God does the leading, but the devil does the tempting. And in my mind, that is a big difference. And I will talk more about this soon. But our assignment called for 4 or 5 observations, right? So I have a 5th. What can I say? Teacher's pet. But it might surprise you to know that what really impacted me in these whole 11 verses was in verse 11. I read this and it impressed me. Matthew 4, verse 11, then the devil left him. And him here means Jesus, which is obvious when you read all 11 verses. I'm still struck by this. And right here on my white sheet of paper with the Bible passage printed, I wrote over this verse a prayer. The devil left Jesus. I pray, Lord, the devil will leave me. That's the short prayer I wrote to God. The devil left Jesus. I pray, Lord, the devil will leave me. Oh yes, Satan still tempts. He is merciless in his pursuit to get me to sin. It's a spiritual battle to live righteously in this world. But if the devil left Jesus, then the devil will also leave me. And I want to learn from Jesus how to make this happen. So that's my fifth major observation from these verses as I read and reread them, along with you. Well, I wonder how these compare or contrast with what you have. As I said last time, there may be some similarities and there will be some differences. Did you see what I see? Do I see what you see? Now that we've completed this assignment together, I hope you'll have an appreciation for how God speaks to different people at different times, yet from the same Bible. Before I ever sit down to research, to read various commentaries, for example, to prepare God is for you, I always read and reread the biblical text over and over again. And I believe this practice is one you can and should follow also. If you repeat, read the Bible, your mind will absorb what you are reading, and soon it will be memorized, etched into your brain. Then the scripture will make its way down to your heart and soul and out through your mouth, hands and feet by how you live in everyday life. And as we read the Bible and make our observations, this is how we teach it to others. And so now you get to come along and learn from me what Jesus teaches us about God when he's led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And as you might expect, I'm going to begin at the beginning and invest some time starting now in verse 1. Here again is Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. In reality, we have to pause after the first word, then. Because that word links us backwards to Matthew chapter 3 and the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. And if you are with me daily, then you remember we've already studied Matthew 3. Therefore, I'm not going to repeat that which we have already learned. Should you be new to God is, or if you have been away for a few weeks, this is yet another reason to get the podcast and get caught up. But let me just remind you what happens as soon as Jesus is baptized, because this has bearing on what we've just read in Matthew 4. So let us go back to read Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. This is Matthew 3, verses 16 through 17. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." These words of God the Father, spoken about Jesus the Son here in Matthew chapter 3, are crucial to understanding why the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness for temptation by the devil in Matthew chapter 4. There's a strong link between the two, and the chapter break here is problematic for us who only read the English translation. What God has declared from heaven is that Jesus is his Son. Jesus is the perfect Son of God. And for Matthew's primarily Jewish readers, this was either received as a total abomination, heresy, to be rejected, or as life-transforming truth, the greatest truth a Jew could ever know and believe. Was Jesus really God's Son? Well, if God the Father spoke this from heaven, then yes, he is. And then it is as if God were saying, "Let me give you even further proof that Jesus is really my Son. What I'm going to do is lead my beloved Son into the wilderness, and I'm going to allow for my enemy, the devil, to tempt Jesus. And when you see how Jesus handles the tempter, then you will believe that Jesus is the Son of God." Friends, there is always a good reason why God does what God does. And as I have said when I gave you my observations of Matthew 4, verse 1, the Spirit led Jesus. He was not led by the devil. God is the one doing the leading. God and not the devil. And why is God doing the leading? I think it is because God the Father wants to continue to offer proof that Jesus is his Son and the Jewish Messiah. God is patient and long-suffering. He communicates truth to us repeatedly and through the Bible in a myriad of ways until we receive and believe what he is communicating to us. We are all very slow learners. But God is persistent. That's his love, mercy, and grace in action. Furthermore, please note here in verse 1 of Matthew 4 that the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness. And once he does that, getting our Lord to where he needs to be at this exact time, then and only then does the devil appear. And the text says to be tempted by the devil. You see, I hope that the Spirit leads Jesus, but the Spirit does not tempt Jesus. And of course he does not, because God never ever tempts anyone to sin. Please get this front and center on your mind. God never ever tempts anyone in any place at any time to sin. Definitely, absolutely not. James chapter 1, verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. Please learn James 1, verse 13. God never, ever tempts anyone to sin. But God does test us. God does test us. And when we look at this encounter that Jesus has with Satan in the wilderness, what we learn is that from God's perspective, this is a test for Jesus. From Satan's perspective, this is a temptation for Jesus. We can say God's purpose here is to test Jesus, but Satan's purpose here is to tempt Jesus. There's a big difference. And the Greek word here for tempted is the key to understanding this perspective on Matthew 4, verse 1. What does the word tempted here actually mean? Well, for that, you have to come back tomorrow. We have a lot to learn, and I'm going to make all of this practical for you. How can I not? God tests Jesus, and God tests all of us. The devil tempts Jesus, and the devil tempts all of us. It will not be hard to make Matthew 4 practical. Like the entire Bible, this great text is real for us. It fits our experience perfectly. So join me again tomorrow, for God is...